Now, 3 months ago this week, Kevin Guskowitz was officially appointed as interim chancellor of UNC Chapel Hill, taking over for Carol Fold. He was formerly dean of arts and sciences, nationally recognized expert on sport-related brain injury as well, and he joins us here in the studio to talk about the first 3 months on the job. Dr. Guskowitz, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Aaron.
So 3 months in, and as we're talking, this is the three-month anniversary of the day that you were appointed. How's it been going?
It's been going great. I've had a series of listening and learning tours over the past 12 weeks out in 11 of the 13 schools so far, heading off to another one this afternoon, also meeting with small groups of faculty and students, and just trying to learn what's important to them. I've been here 24 years, as you've said, but just when you think you know everything about the place, you learn that there's still a lot to learn.
What have you learned? What have you heard from the students and the community at UNC that you maybe didn't expect to hear?
Well, I think two consistent themes have emerged throughout most of the listening and learning sessions I've had. One is that this is an amazing place with respect to collaboration, a culture of collaboration. We talk about the low stone walls that sort of surround our campus and define our physical boundaries, but yet I think those low stone walls also define our culture, and there's so much collaboration happening, and I'm going to try to keep momentum in that regard with the way we're securing research funds for our faculty and grad students, with the way we're implementing our new curriculum. I think the second theme has been around diversity and inclusion. We're doing a great job in some areas, but there's much more that we can be doing, and I'm going to be focused on that over the next several months.
And kind of with that in mind, you've already created a campus safety commission to kind of move forward on several issues related to that, and that commission had its first meeting last week, correct?
Yes, we had that meeting on Wednesday, I believe.
Yeah.
And it went great. It's a 20-member commission made up of students, faculty, and staff, as well as a few community members, and the first meeting went great. I think it's going to help create it'll help improve communication between our campus constituency and our police force and our administration around campus safety issues, and I'm confident will help to rebuild some of the trust that has been called into question over the past few years.
Sort of concretely, what is the goal of the commission? What are you hoping to get from them?
I want to be able to rebuild trust, I think, and to let our campus community know that they have a voice regarding campus safety, where there are areas that could be improved upon, where there's a situation when someone has felt that they've been mistreated, or that a student or faculty or staff member has perhaps been mistreated, and I think that it'll create a conduit, a way to communicate back to where they feel they can voice a concern or a compliment about how a situation unfolded in a way that you would want it to, and we can be sure we're replicating that in the future. So those are some of the goals, and I'm confident with this group that we have, we'll get there.
This is one of those commissions where it's just getting started, and the role of the commission will probably develop and evolve over time. But I know at the first meeting last week, one of the concerns of commission members was what are our responsibilities and what is our authority? Do we have investigative authority? What can we do? Do the commission members have investigative authority? What do you see as their kind of authoritative role?
So it is not an oversight committee, or in which they will oversee and hold accountable the police department, but they will be brought in to help our campus leadership, as well as external consultants that are brought in to review specific situations where they can help provide some best practice guidelines for us, or recommendations on new policies. So it's sort of a hybrid between an oversight committee that some other campuses have. Actually, I don't know many campuses, but some communities have, and just an advisory board. It's sort of a hybrid, as I've said.
It's kind of difficult to measure success when you're talking about rebuilding a trust relationship. It's not really a measurable or easily measurable thing, but what would constitute success? You look back 5 years from now at the last 5 years, what would be a metric of, well, we've moved forward as a campus community?
I think when we're able to show that we've revise some policies and that I think they'll be a part of reviewing with our campus leadership, and to see that those policies, as new policies, guidelines are effective, and just to know that they have a voice. I think the more people that come and to their meetings and express their opinions around certain policies and or situations, incidents that have occurred, that will be a measure of success.
Do you have any particular policies in mind there?
Well, we've had a number of incidents of late, and those are being reviewed, as I've said, and some of them have to do with who has jurisdiction under certain parts of campus. So we're looking at that. We also have ways in which the protests are being managed, and we're always, our police force does a really good job of looking at assessing the threats that are there and what danger may be imposed through certain types of events. And I want to get their feedback on how we're, we could be more effective there. There are a number of students and faculty that have suggestions around that.
UNC is currently looking for a new police chief to take over for Jeff McCracken. What specifically are you looking for there?
Well, we're going to go out and hire the best police chief in the country. And I'm optimistic that they're going to bring fresh new ideas. They're going to provide great leadership both for the police force, but also build a sense of community that our students, faculty, staff feel that their voices are heard. And we know that Jeff's been here for 27, 28 years, and we have a safe, very safe campus, and he's helped to put in place many of those policies. But you reach a time whenever you have to review those policies, and I think a new police chief will bring some new ideas in doing that.
Do you feel like we should be moving in a new direction with the police department, or are you looking for someone who will kind of pick up where Jeff McCracken left off?
I'm going to leave that up to the new police chief.
All right. Speaking with Kevin Guskowitz, again, interim chancellor at UNC. One more question on the police. There have been some calls from a number of students to disband the campus police altogether. Is that something that you're considering at all?
Or? No.
Okay. Moving on to other goals as chancellor. I know a lot of the discussion around UNC has focused really heavily on the safety commission, the demonstrations and protests. What are your kind of overarching goals that you want to accomplish as chancellor between now and the time you step down?
Well, we're excited that we have a new general education curriculum, mm-hmm. which just passed on April the 12th by our faculty council. And that's a project we've been working on for nearly 3 years, and it's called Ideas in Action. It's going to it's an innovative, contemporary, global, and inclusive curriculum, which were the four goals that we had going in to this exercise about 3 years ago. We've had a faculty group, a 9-member faculty group, who worked closely with over 150 faculty on various subcommittees over that 3-year period. And so implementing that over the next year and a half is going to be critical to our success, and I'm very excited about that. We are right in the middle of a capital campaign, which is going great, trying to raise $4.25 billion, which is a big number, and we're on track to meet and likely surpass that goal. And
let us know how you do that, because I think all of us would want to know how to raise $4 billion.
Well, we have an amazing development team, but more than that, we have world-class faculty at Carolina and amazing students that come in to work alongside those faculty. And so they generate the stories that really help our alumni base, our donor base, to see the value in committing to Carolina through the campaign. And there will be a number of initiatives within that. Our Institute for Convergent Science, which is a theme that's emerged over the past two to 3 years, that will help speed the impact of new discoveries along the sort of commercialization of the science. We were just ranked fourth by U.S. News and World Report for undergraduate entrepreneurship. And this is this entrepreneurial mindset at Carolina, where students from any discipline can minor in entrepreneurship. And so that's one of our big projects moving forward. And you'll also be hearing a lot more around data science. We do great work in data science, but we're going to find a way to bring it under one roof. And so stay tuned. You'll be hearing a lot about this. And we have a lot of faculty and students that are experts in the way in which we sort of the application of data science, and we use it across all disciplines. And so that'll be an emerging area.
Give us an example of the application of data science, because that really is an exciting field. But when you talk about data science, I think people might think of it as a boring thing. But this is a really exciting thing once you take that data and actually apply it in ways that can really make a difference across the scope of human
sure.
life.
I mean, there's a lot of ways in which we do it in the medical and health sciences, and the ways in which we're capturing information data that's helping to treat HIV. We have programs in Zambia and in Malawi and other countries. We talk about being the leading global public research university, so we're taking a lot of that work overseas, and we're learning and bringing what we're learning overseas back here. But another example outside of the medical realm would be in our city of our Department of City and Regional Planning. It's one of the top programs in the country, and so we're doing a lot in the area of smart cities. And so taking data, gathering a lot of data, and putting them into algorithms to help local communities think about how to build a city for the future. And so that's another way in which we have experts there working closely with our Odom Institute, which is focused on data science.
I was actually just talking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger last week about the trying to come up with traffic policy for the coming years and decades for Chapel Hill. And there's always going to be this discrepancy between what the numbers tell us and what people kind of perceive when they're out there on the roads, and data science can help kind of reconcile those two in really fascinating
Absolutely.
Ways.
And I would add one more just around Southern Futures. So mm-hmm. this is a new initiative. We love that at Carolina we have our Center for the Study of the American South, which there are several departments from history to American studies to sociology and others that and religious studies that intersect with this center. And so you'll be hearing more about a program, a theme called Southern Futures, and it's that we can be sure that Carolina owns the study of the American South, and we leverage that with the amazing collection that we have at Wilson Library, being the best library in the world, holding the best collections, special collections around the South.
Speaking with Kevin Guskowitz, and you mentioned attracting quality faculty, quality students to Carolina. What are the challenges in doing that? UNC has been in the news in the last decade plus in a number of negative ways. You've got the NCAA investigation, obviously the protests and demonstrations, dealings with the General Assembly in terms of budget issues, et cetera, et cetera. But it doesn't seem to have affected UNC's reputation at all. The U.S. News ranking remains the same. All of the kind of the respected rankings of higher education institutions, Carolina continues to kind of be in place. So what are the challenges in terms of maintaining that reputation?
Well, I think if you look at the metrics, as you've said, Aaron, we continue each year we've increased in the number of applicants that apply to Carolina. We're, I think, just shy of about 45,000 this year. So we're turning away, sadly, many qualified applicants because we can only bring in about 4,200 to 4,300 first-year students a year. And we also, as you know, we have a cap on the number of out-of-state applicants at 18%. So we're constantly trying to be sure that we have a campus community that it represents the most talented and diverse students to Carolina, that helps those who are here learn in an environment in which diversity is, broadly speaking, is appreciated and really enhances the learning opportunities. So we want to continue to be able to bring in students from all socioeconomic backgrounds. And so our Carolina Covenant program is really important. About 15% of every incoming class over the past probably 7 or 8 years have come from those families, many first-generation college students, to have the same opportunities regardless of whether they can afford to attend Carolina. And they're graduating debt-free.
Pulling the camera up away from UNC specifically, what do you see as the biggest challenge facing higher education?
Well, I think it's funding. It really is. I mean, we are proud to be one of the best funded state systems in the nation. I think the last we looked, it was fourth or fifth. UNC Chapel Hill receives approximately $520 million a year of base funding from the state of North Carolina. So I continue to remind our faculty and students that the biggest donor to UNC Chapel Hill is, in fact, the state of North Carolina. And we need to make sure that they that our constituency feels really good about the return on that investment. And so, having said that, we're a much larger enterprise than we were even just a decade or two ago. So it is more expensive. And one of our biggest challenges is being able to retain the best faculty in the country, because when you're the leading global public research university that we are, your faculty are often being targeted to come and work at other places. And so that's one of our biggest challenges.
Speaking with Kevin Guskowitz again, interim chancellor at UNC, 3 months on the job as of this week. One of the kind of in the news controversies that we haven't touched on yet is Silent Sam. And there's a deadline coming up for the Board of Governors to come up with their plan for the future of the statue and that site. What conversations, if any, have you had with members of the Board of Governors? How has that discussion been going behind the scenes? And what do you think about the future of the site and the statue?
Well, I've been very open about my own feelings. You know, when I was dean of the College of Arts and Sciences, and based on data from surveys that we conducted from our faculty and staff, meeting with many student groups, and that we feel there needs to be there's a more appropriate place for that monument than on our campus. And so I remain optimistic that you know, the 5-member Board of Governors committee is working hard on that, and they're still in process right now. And we know that the end of the month, the 22nd, 25th, somewhere in there, that we expect to hear something. It could be that it's going to be delayed longer. It may be that a decision's made. But again, I'm glad that we've been able to engage our faculty and students in the conversations with the 5-member Board of Governors Committee. And so I think they know where everybody stands from this end.
What else are you doing, and what else should UNC be doing to contextualize its own history on campus?
Well, as you know, when you're 225 years old, as UNC Chapel Hill is, and we're proud of that, not only to be the first of the publics, but the most public of the publics. We're passionately public. There's a long history there, and there's a lot of history there. And so, you know, our Board of Trustees, they are working hard to think about, along with our leadership team, about how to contextualize that history. The History Task Force sort of set things in motion starting back in about 2015. And it's very likely we're going to bring that working group back together again this fall, so that we can begin to look at this and make some decisions.
Speaking with Kevin Guskowitz again, interim chancellor at UNC. I keep seeing interim chancellor. Are you interested in the permanent full-time role? It's been three rough months,
It's been three great months, I'd say, Aaron. I've really enjoyed it. I had a few people ask me about how the transition went. I said, well, what transition? I was asked on a Tuesday, named on a Wednesday, and I started on a Thursday, so there really wasn't much time to overthink too much.
It's a Solomon Grundy level week, right?
You got it. Yeah. And it was a good week, and again, there have been 12 great weeks since then. I didn't accept this job thinking that that every day would be easy. Easy is boring. And so we're not getting bored. I am very much interested in pursuing this permanently, but we're gonna take it 1 week at a time right now.
Final thing that we haven't had a chance to talk about, I know there's still a lot of concerns about, as you mentioned, rebuilding that level of trust on campus between police and the campus community, between administrators and the campus community. What message do you want to send?
Well, I want to think about building a stronger partnership rather than always framing it as rebuilding trust. I think everything comes back to trust, certainly, but I think it's also about the partnerships. And we're going to restart the Tar Heel bus tour, which Chancellor Michael Hooker started back around 1997, and it ran for 11 years. And we're going to start that back up in the fall, and you'll be hearing more about that here over the next few months. It'll likely be the week of fall break, mid-October, where we're going to get out and tell the great stories of our campus, the story, you know, our faculty, our students, and the work that they do around this great state. We're going to try to hit as many counties as possible over about a 3 to 4 day period, and learn how we can have an even greater impact on the state of North Carolina. I think that's what I'm really focused on right now. We have an amazing university here, and sometimes people take that for granted. And I want people to get to campus to see and listen and hear what we're doing, but we've got to get on the road to go and tell our story as well.
A lot more that we can talk about, but we'll wrap it up there. Interim Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Aaron. It's been fun.